S-N-H-E-A-R.
Constructing sound sculptures in the echoes of your mind. Here and there, Audio Magazine travels the country with a curiosity for the details. Light has vibration. Sound has color. Listen as we translate them to radio waves. Hello, I'm Dave Allman with Here and There Audio Magazine. I travel around America and find the coolest places to go. I describe them in a program broadcast on radio reading service stations all over the country. On one show, I pet cheetah cubs at the Cincinnati Zoo. Another time, I toured the King Tut exhibit in Chicago. And recently, I walked through Red River Gorge in Kentucky. I'm visually impaired, and many of my guests are people who are blind. We spend the time to describe details that the casual observer would miss. I look for places to go that offer touch tours and accessibility features. I hope you will take a half hour and find something new to experience, someplace you might like to visit. If you like the program, check out my website where you can download a podcast. That's hereandthere.net.
H-E-A-R.
A-N-D.
T-H-E-R-E.
Hereandthere.net. Hear what we're talking about, and you'll feel like you're there.
If I'm hearing, then I'm listening.
See you somewhere. Hello, I'm Dave Allman, and welcome to this issue of Here and There Audio Magazine. For this episode, we'll be talking with Kitty Hevener. She recently went to Orlando, Florida, and a place down there called Discovery Cove, where she swam with dolphins. I'll be talking with her over the phone and getting her impression about what it was like to swim with the dolphins and to hold on to their fins as they swam through the water. Discovery Cove gives its customers a video DVD of their experience, so I've taken some of the sound from Kitty's experience, and we'll be listening to that also. I'll intersperse the two, my interview over the phone and the sound from her DVD, and we'll try to recreate her experience as close as we can. But first, I'd like to give you some information about dolphins that I found on the internet. Dolphins make sounds that fall into three categories: whistles, clicks, and chirps. They also make a lot of blowing noises with their blowhole, and you'll hear a lot of those in our interview. But as I'm talking about the noises, I'm playing some dolphin sounds so you can get a full range of the noises that they're making. Whistles are unique to each individual dolphin. They're much like our own voices. It appears that dolphins use these signature whistles as we use names. You can hear a loud whistle from a nearby dolphin, followed by a similar sound from a dolphin further away, sort of like a sound handshake or greeting. Clicks are a general form of echolocation. Echolocation works like radar, and the dolphins use it to find food and to bounce off of objects in murky water. The dolphin makes the click noise, it travels through the water, bounces off the object, and then the dolphin hears the echo. Bats use echolocation also. The last category of sound is a chirping type noise. The tones are of a varying frequency, and it's still not known what the chirps mean, but you'll hear them in a lot of the sound effects that I've put in, and I think it kind of sounds like a joyful language. Now, the noises that we'll hear are not all the noises that the dolphins are making. Their noises range from 150,000 hertz, which is about 8 times what we can hear, all the way down to 2,000 hertz, which is very much within our hearing limit. So they're making an awful lot of noises that we're not even aware of. It's very interesting how the dolphin brain interprets the noise that they hear. Dolphins have very large brains, and a lot of it is used for sound processing. It's thought that through the echolocation, they're able to convert the sound into acoustic images. This allows them to see in 3D in the darkness and the murky waters. This 3D effect comes from a lot of different sources. For instance, certain types of shrimp make clicking noises, and it's thought that the dolphins can hear that and place the clicks in space so that they're effective hunters. The dolphins would have to do this because the animals in the ocean, the shrimp and fish, can probably hear the clicks, and that would make their prey aware that the dolphins are in the area. So there's an awful lot that we don't know about dolphins, but it does seem that we have a special connection with them. And I think you'll hear the connection that Kitty had with her experience in swimming at Discovery Cove. Now let's go to that interview. Kitty.
Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about Discovery Cove and where is this place?
Discovery Cove is outside of Orlando. It is close to SeaWorld and fairly close to Disney World. They not only have a nice water area where you can swim with the dolphins or you can ride on some specially designed water noodles so that you can just take a lazy trip down the river, but they also have a nice bird estuary. And they have nice walking trails. Everything there is fully wheelchair accessible. And as you're walking on the trail, they had created a rainforest type of environment. Even though you were, in essence, in a city or a suburb thereof, you really didn't feel like it because the sounds and just the close proximity of the trees to the trail really created a nice forest-like atmosphere.
Okay, and we've got a lot to discuss about your experiences, but first, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a fully blind woman with a guide dog, and going on this trip had to be an experience just in getting there, and we'll talk about that. But tell us, why is it you wanted to go swim with dolphins?
I have always been curious to know what dolphins feel like and what they look like. I enjoy any type of water activity. And I enjoy learning about the creatures that live in the water. I had always heard that dolphins were very beautiful, and I wanted to experience what it felt like to touch a dolphin and what it felt like to take a ride with a dolphin. Now, granted, I would be interested in having similar experiences with other animals such as whales, probably not sharks, but other animals along that same line. But there's something about the intelligence of the dolphins and their interaction. And I know in this particular program how they use the dolphins to help children with autism kind of come out of their shell. And it seemed that they became a lot more expressive in terms of their own level of excitement and other emotions as they interacted with the dolphins in this special program. And with my background in special education, that was just one more selling point for me was to go to investigate these animals. And actually, the first time that I was touching Capricorn, he decided to breathe, and my hand was right over that hole, and I was not expecting kind of the loud whoosh of air that came from his breathing, and I jumped back until I realized what it was.
This is his back?
This is his head still.
Oh, yeah. This whole area is his head?
Yeah, pretty much what you're... It's okay.
That's the blowhole. Where was he blowing from?
The blowhole. Oh. That's located right where your hand was on his forehead.
Yeah, where
right,
suddenly...
Right behind that is the hole on the top of their head. That's where they do all of their breathing from. It's called their blowhole. So they don't breathe in and out of their mouths at all. They do all of their breathing out of... This is...
I'm going to bring them sideways.
But what does a dolphin look like? Let's go over a brief description just so that our listeners can know what we're talking about here. Because these are pretty big animals. They look like fish, but they're not fish because they're mammals. They have live young. Fish lay eggs. How big are they?
Well, I saw Capricorn, and Capricorn is a senior citizen by all right. He is about 40 years old. He weighs about 600 some odd pounds, so you kind of work on Capricorn's terms.
So how long is he?
I don't really remember the dimension.
So how tall are you, Kitty?
Well, I'm about 5'6".
Okay, and was the dolphin longer than you, or?
I have a hard time putting it in that kind of perspective. I just know that I was moving back through the water quite a ways to get to its tail, and along the way, it kept moving, and I kept moving because of the current. And then we got the dorsal fin, and we turned him over and checked out his side. And
so with 600 pounds, though, he had to be pretty bulky and massive compared to yourself.
Well, thank you. and his head is much larger than a human head or a dog head or anything like that. Well, I'll just say that on his face, there are little tiny holes for his eyes. I actually inadvertently covered his eyes and didn't realize that I was doing that. And his ears are also little tiny pinholes. When you touch the dolphin, to me, it kind of felt like a hard-boiled egg as you just take it out of the shell, only it wasn't quite that slimy. So it was kind of like a sort of a dried hard-boiled egg, if you will. And as you move along from the head of the dolphin going toward the tail, you encounter little flipper fins. Let's see, there's a dorsal fin, and the flipper fins are used to steer the dolphin. They don't really help the dolphin gain speed while it's swimming. And then as you move back, you see like a fatty area of tissue. And then there's the what they call the peduncle. And it's a scientific term, but basically it's the muscle mass. It's what allows the dolphin to move its tail fin to really propel itself through the water. And it's strictly muscle, very, very solid. Capricorn, they told me, even though he's in his 40s, he was able to swim about 20 miles an hour. I asked if I could listen to him swim, so I did, and I was not able to hear a splash or anything. His movement was just very quiet. But the thing is, the dolphins are very muscular, and that's why you'll do things on their terms. They're very powerful, but along with that power is a lot of grace.
So what you were feeling before is the muscle mass, but then the tail kind of acts as the propulsion.
And this is the tail, so
yep.
He just kind of...
this whole thing...
Does he just kind of go up and down with it?
Up and down, yep. So he'll move it this way.
Oh, wow.
But when he moves fast, he moves it big. These fins can swim about 22 miles an hour through the water, so...
Can you hear what it sounds like?
Sure.
To let him swim?
Yeah. Let's have him, I'll actually have him do a jump. You can hear what it sounds like when he splashes.
Okay.
And then when he comes back, you'll be able to hear his movement. So right now he just turned around, so now he's facing us again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give him a hand signal. So everything we communicate with them is kind of like sign language. So let's see if he'll do a jump for us. So he just took off. He threw a jump out in the center to swim.
Swimming.
So he's already
no
back.
No splashing.
Yep.
He's
hi, everybody.
Very smooth movement. His face is right in front of you. You want to put your hands under his chin here. Yeah.
Aww.
Isn't that cool? They're really, really smooth in the water. They're very agile, so their movements are very fluent.
I had an opportunity to take a ride on the dolphin. Now, you might be wondering how that happened. Did I lie on top of its back, or just how do they do this ride?
What we're going to do now, if you want to, is we're going to go out to take a ride.
Cool.
Okay, so where you're standing right now, about 3 feet in front of you, the water drops off to about 15 feet deeper, so it's going to be over your head.
Okay.
So Ashley's going to be with you, and she'll assist you in the water.
Okay.
Hold on, Petey.
One of the first things they told me to do was just to jog or march. And the dolphin would splash its tail in the rhythm to my march. And sure enough, it did. And I started out pretty slowly, and it started splashing its tail. And as I gained speed, all of a sudden, we were rocking and rolling, and the dolphin was splashing water way up out of the beach area.
He can do a kick with his tail if you want to try it. If you move your feet up and down, kind of like you're marching, he'll move his tail up and down. Go ahead.
All of the communication with the dolphin is through hand signals, because they don't know if the dolphins can actually hear people that are on land, because of the way they hear. They know they can hear in the, under the water, but they don't really know about the land. So they do all hand gestures.
Sound first, because I know you're really interested
in
sound. So what I'm going to have you do is put both your index fingers just straight up in the air. So point them up.
Like
yeah,
that?
There you go. That's great. And just bounce them up and down.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh,
unfortunately,
I thought you were a dolphin translator.
No.
We're more behaviorists than translators, but pretty much what's happening is all that sound is coming from the blowhole in the top. Remember where you felt that breath come from?
Yeah.
That's where all the vocal or sounds come from. So what I'm going to have you do this time is I'm going to ask them that behavior, but I want you to put your hand on his forehead because you can kind of feel his forehead moving and he's making the sound a little bit. Make the sound. Oh, you're just shaking your head up and down. Let's try this one. That's actually a kind of fun one to do. Go ahead and put your hand on his forehead again right there. Got it.
Foghorn.
All right, you can take your hand.
Such a riot.
Maybe I wonder if he'll do it now.
What do you think? Are you watching? Good boy.
And these are bottlenose dolphins, so they have a nose on them, kind of like a dog, that sticks out a little bit, and then that goes right into their large head. They do look like a fish. They have the large head, which narrows back to their actual tail over the whole body, because they're very aerodynamic, or I don't know what you call the word when they're underwater. They're not aerodynamic, they're water dynamic. They have one dorsal fin on their back, and then they have two side fins, which are like their arms.
Those are the flippers.
The flippers. And then they have the long tail. Now, what's different about the dolphins from fish is that fish have a tail, and they wag their tail when they swim back and forth, right to left. But when dolphins swim, their fin is up and down, and so they have a different motion through the water than a fish does.
The other thing that helped me get a sense of not only his grace but his power was that the trainer had me and herself and another trainer, we lined up single file, and then they had taught the dolphin to do what they called a shark, chase the shark, and he basically was going round in circles. It just felt like you were in a vortex, just the power, and I'm sure he wasn't going all out, but just the power of the current that was created around us. I mean, he really could have knocked you over.
What you're going to do is lay your hands up, palms down on the surface of the water, and move your fingers kind of...
I did find interesting is that around the dolphin dorsal fin, they have a unique pattern which is their identification. It's equivalent to our fingerprint. You know, no two humans have the exact same fingerprint. When you look at these dolphins, no two dolphins have the exact same pattern on their tail and the dorsal fin. And when I touched Capricorns, it was a pattern of various ridges. And at one point, you really had to kind of flatten your hand out to detect the ridges. Because at first, I didn't really notice it. But it was only when I felt kind of against the way the fin was that I noticed the little pattern. And it was kind of on the underneath side. So I thought that was rather unique.
So on the side, what you felt was a flipper.
Uh-huh.
On the back, it's called a fin. It's kind of like what sharks have on their back, too. They have a fin on their back. It sticks out. Yeah. So if you take either hand, it doesn't matter, but if you go all the way up and then kind of hook it around the back side and feel the back side, you're going to notice there's kind of like some ridges and ripples back there.
Uh-huh.
Feel all that?
Oh, yeah.
So you know how people have fingerprints, and that's how we're identified.
Mm-hmm.
When we are looking at the animals, we can actually identify the animal by looking at this area, or even just knowing the pattern on the back of that dorsal fin. So even by you feeling that, if you felt another dolphin's dorsal fin, you would essentially feel a different thing. Some are smooth all the way down. Some have little notches and ridges in them.
Oh, neat.
Others have like a ripple.
Now, is that specific to each breed of dolphin, or to each dolphin?
Each
dolphin.
Yep, just like a fingerprint. So every single dolphin and whale is going to have a unique pattern on the back of their dorsal fin, as well as the back of the tail. So when we get back to the tail end, I'll kind of show you that as well.
Okay.
Well, let's see if Capricorn will jump again.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to send him on a jump. I just want you to look at him. I'll jump a couple times. We'll see how much noise he makes for this.
Oh, sorry, I had to do that fast. He was coming. I'm like, here's your fish. Put it in his mouth. He's got it.
That's like a chocolate cake.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my dog grabs like that too.
But you just fed him a herring. A herring is the largest fish that they get. So Capricorn actually gets 25 pounds of that.
25 pounds.
Yeah.
And you said he weighs how much?
He's over 600, probably about 650.
Oh,
I think was our last weight on him.
Oh, wow. Now, how old do dolphins typically live?
In the ocean, around 20 to 25 years. So Capricorns actually live longer than he probably would have been.
Wow.
Yeah. If you think about it, all the care that they get.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent veterinary care. We also feed them every day. And as they get older, you were talking about how does he eat because he has no teeth. Well,
that herring just slid right
yeah,
down.
Yeah, exactly. They don't chew their food, but the fact is in the ocean, they still have to catch their food. I mean, we're feeding them fish that are already dead.
Right.
So they don't have to worry about it. We just toss the fish right in their mouth and they swallow it. But as they get older, like an animal like Capricorn, who only has like 15 teeth as opposed to almost 100, he would lose that ability to catch the fish.
Can I touch a tooth?
Sure.
Or
maybe.
Is that getting too?
I'm going to hold his mouth open. We'll see if Ashley can kind of help me with that.
Yeah. Oh, like
there
right.
We go.
Yeah.
You got good small boy. Teeth there, little boy.
He's like, yeah, what is and this?
Just watch your fingers, because they'll kind of throw it right in front of you. Go ahead, toss it up a little bit. Right there.
Oh, oh, we'll get it.
Oh, trust me. He finds it even if it drops.
Any profound thoughts that you've learned from being with the dolphins?
It was a real special time. In my eyes, the dolphins are beautiful. They're powerful. And they are very intelligent. The facility offers a fantastic educational opportunity for children and adults with or without disabilities. It's a way that I was able to see a dolphin, and just feeling like they were being well cared for made it even that much more special to me.
So it sounded like this affected you on an emotional level as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, these dolphins are so well taken care of, and it provides a great experience. And I think one of the things that I walked away with, my conviction that dogs and other animals and even people can really learn and be taught to manage behaviors through positive methods as opposed to so much punishment such as spanking and hitting. And if you can do it with a dolphin that weighs 600 pounds, there's no excuse for not being able to do it with animals and people who weigh less than that.
Okay, well, it sounds like a really great time. I'd like to do it myself. Well, that's all the time we have for Here and There. Join us again next time. I'm Dave Allman, your host, and thank you very much for Kitty Hevener for going through your experience. I hope you enjoyed the show, Kitty.
I did. Thank you for inviting me.
Would you like to give him a kiss?
Sure.
Okay. We're gonna
how do we do this?
I'm going to squish sides on
this. Okay. All right. Okay.
He's going to rest his feet there.
He's ready.
Right there where your shoulder is.
Aww. You can give him another one. He's kind of nice and relaxed in your hands.
Yay! All right.
Good
what a good boy.
And you can take your hands down there.
Do I get a kiss from you?
He's like, yeah, I already kissed you. Yeah,
baby.
Did you like that one? You did, huh? Yeah. What do you think?
Oh.
You just don't want to do that vocal, right? All right, so we're going to say goodbye. Let's do the vocal again. So put those index fingers out again. Just your index fingers and bounce them.
Want me to play the piano?
Uh-huh. But you were doing this one. Alright, so what we're gonna do now, we're gonna have him kind of go to the back of the pool because he's done.
Bye,
bye.
Bye.
Go, buddy, go!
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
If you would like information on Discovery Cove, call 877-557-7404. This program is also carried on the IAAIS Internet Program Share. If you like the program, check out my website, hereandthere.net.
HEARANDTHERE.net.
See you somewhere.